to say that video gets me every time. I'm absolutely bawling my eyes out. So forgive me. God is good, right? All the time, God is good. Seriously, just that he would love us so much to heal me after 15 years of constant pain. What kind of God is that, right? A gracious and serving God. And in this moment, if anybody has chronic pain right now, in their bodies, right now, I pray that you'll stand. And I'd love to pray a blessing over you. Thank you. Anybody else that has chronic pain right now, anywhere in their bodies, I have lived with chronic pain. I know what you are going through. I know the drastic measures that it takes on your life. I know that every day you wake up just wishing to get to go back to bed in some days. And so right here, right now, if everybody could extend an arm to each one of these people, and I say, Father God, first and foremost, thank you. Thank you that you sent your son to be whipped until he was unrecognizable as a man for our pain, for our sicknesses, for our disease. And as testimony is the prophecy of doing it again, I say, do it again, Holy Spirit, over each and every one of these bodies. Thank you, bodies, for coming into alignment with the Holy Spirit and completely and totally being healed of all pain. In Jesus' mighty name, we say it be so. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. We are Chris and Dave Carlson, and I got to tell you, we are absolutely thrilled to be here today. We do have such a blessed life. We'll be 20 years married on December 12th. I made it easy for my husband. Thank you. And we got married on 12/12. He hasn't missed an anniversary, so it works, if any of you need help with that. And we're just excited to be here with our church family today. Thank you for listening to some stories that we want to share with you guys. We're not real teachers like you normally get, but we got stories of Father God, right? So thank you for being here for that. We are currently in the series of Acts 29, and we have lots of stories of where Dave and I believe that the Acts of the Apostles are still happening today, that they didn't end in Acts 28, that, amen, that we have an Acts 29 going on right here, right now. And so we're in the first part of Acts 2. We're going to do the first verses of Acts 2, and then next week, come back, because you get a heavy hitter in Terry Altman next week, and he's going to go through the transformation of Peter and Peter's speech in the latter part of Acts 2. But for today, we titled our sermon Amazed and Perplexed, because honestly, we often are. But let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, we wanted to start with that video because it kind of tells where we were coming from a little bit. A few years ago, very skeptical, didn't really believe in healings and miracles and other things like that. And since we're talking about, we're in Acts 2 today, we're talking about Pentecost, you know, we thought it might be helpful to let you know where we were a few years ago, and maybe some of you are there right now. And that's why we titled the sermon Amazed and Perplexed, and you'll see why in a little bit.
So in Acts 2:1, it starts where they come in, and it's Pentecost.
Yeah, well, let's start back where Dan left off last week to set the stage for Acts 2. At the end of Acts 1:11, Jesus had just ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, and there was about 120 believers. That was it. About the same number of people here in this room. It was the whole church. Think about that. That was it, 120 people. And Acts 1:11 says those 120 people, Jesus just ascended into heaven. They returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. That sounds like a long ways. It's about a mile. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. So that kind of hit me right there. I was thinking, number one, it said they were staying there, like they were living there. You know, it wasn't just they went for dinner. They were staying there in that room, 120 people, because they were hiding, right? They were hiding from the authorities who had just killed Jesus and were looking for them. I know it's hard for us to imagine what that would have been like for them, especially since, I mean, we are privileged to have a holiday this week where we created a holiday just to celebrate how free we are, how much freedom we have. They didn't have that. So here we have 120 people hiding in a room, having no idea what happens next. Like, now what? And you know, also, you know, we hear upstairs room, we think, like, Lord's Supper, we think it's like a small room, but, I mean, there was 120 people living in this room, and I'm sure they were crammed in, but it was a lot bigger room than we probably think of. Probably not like Leonardo's Last Supper painting at all. So as Dan talked about last week.
Hopefully they weren't all on the same side of the table. Like, yeah. Right? This painting always cracks me up.
Yeah. They'd fit a lot better if they used the whole table. Yeah. Okay, so Acts 1:14, they were all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, we know that this was a period of 10 days. Jesus, after he was resurrected, he was with them for 40 days, and you'll see why we know it's 10 days in a minute. So you had 120 people crammed into this upstairs room for 10 days, praying constantly. Like, that's what they were doing. Now, that's some fervent prayer. And then we get to Acts 2:1. The day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place in this upstairs room. Now, this caught me for a minute. I normally read right past this, I suspect a lot of you may have in the past. You know, in our Christian culture, you know, we know that there's a holiday on the calendar called Pentecost. And, you know, a lot of times we don't make much of it. Dan always says it should be the big three, right? Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. It should be a major Christian holiday. And we know that it's a Christian holiday. But when you read this verse, it makes it sound like to a first century Jew, it was a holiday on their calendar too, which had never actually occurred to me. So the Holy Spirit led me to dig into this a little bit, and I spent some time looking up what that meant. And what I found out, in the Jewish culture, there are three major festivals that they have throughout the year. Two of the festivals are directly linked together. One is Passover, which is when the Jews celebrated being freed from slavery in Egypt, right? And then starting on the second day of Passover, which is the day that they kill the Passover lamb at the temple, also the day that Jesus died, okay? So Jesus died on the second day of Passover. Starting on the second day of Passover, they count 50 days to Pentecost. So Pentecost is the 50th day after they slaughter the Passover lamb. And by the way, the word Pentecost in Greek just means 50th. That's all it is. It's the word 50th. So this is something I came across on a website called Judaism 101. It's www.jewfaq.org. Didn't make that up. So it's interesting because it says that Pentecost, Pentecost celebrates the giving of the Torah, which is the law, right? The Old Testament law, at Mount Sinai. It goes on to say that Passover freed us physically from bondage, from slavery, but the giving of the law, the Torah, on Pentecost redeemed us spiritually from our bondage to idolatry and immorality. Now, I didn't know that. And so essentially the Holy Spirit came on a day to celebrate the giving of the Old Testament law, which was the moral compass that enabled the Jews to try to live godly lives. And that's just what the Holy Spirit does for us, right? It continues to do that for us today. So there's a parallelism. So similar to the way that Jesus took the place of the Passover lamb and eliminated the need for sacrifice, the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost to take the place of the law and eliminate the need for the law. Because like Galatians 5:18 says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. We need to be letting the Holy Spirit lead our lives. And little bit more Jewish theology for you, Jewish theology day, from the same source. It says, it's noteworthy that the holiday, Pentecost, is called the time of giving of the Torah rather than the time of receiving of the Torah. And I thought that was very significant. The sages point out that we are constantly in the process of receiving the Torah, that we receive it every day, but it was first given at this time. Thus, it is the giving, not the receiving, that makes this holiday significant. That really, really resonated with me, because if you remember a few weeks ago, Dan's sermon on the actual day of Pentecost was all about how we don't just receive the Holy Spirit once. We receive the Holy Spirit continuously, and he gave lots of examples where the apostles and the disciples were over and over and over. It talked about them being filled with the Holy Spirit multiple times. So same thing that the Jews believe about the law is what the Holy Spirit does. And, you know, a lot of people say that the whole Old Testament points to Jesus, and this is one example of that.
Yeah, and so just like Dan encouraged us back on Pentecost, we're to ask for Holy Spirit to come each day, each and every day, ask Holy Spirit come. So here you got these 120-ish so people, right? You got the apostles up there, you got family, you got friends, you got others up in this upper room, right? They're praying, praying, praying. Dan told us last week they were praying for 10 days. Solid, just like Dave was saying, fervent playing. And they're scared. They got to be. I was trying to put myself in their position. One, I don't know how they use the restroom. I haven't figured that one out yet. But I was trying to put myself in their position up in this upper room, praying, praying, praying. And I'm scared. I always had Jesus before, right? Jesus always bailed us out of any storm that came. But now he's gone. And all I got is these 120 folk. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, Holy Spirit shows up in an amazing way, right? It goes on in the next three verses to say in Acts 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. And then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. I was trying to imagine this, tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being them? It's just wow. Like being in that room with this sound of violent wind rushing through, with tongues of fire resting on each and every head. You got chaos because people are speaking in other tongues, you know, so people are just talking, talking, talking. They don't even know what they're saying, but they're talking. And so there's chaos, there's commotion, there's bewilderment, there's amazement, everything going on in this upper room, just massive amounts of encounter with the Holy Spirit and what we believe is still happening today.
Yeah, so we want to talk a little bit about some things that we've experienced, and we're not theologians, but we've traveled around and we've visited a lot of missionaries. And strange things happen when you're around missionaries. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the gifts of tongues that are mentioned in verse 4 here. And there's different kinds of tongues, and we're not going to talk about all that. They're spiritual languages. We're talking about in this passage is kind of unique because it's like a regular, real foreign language being given to you in an instant by the Holy Spirit. And it's one of those things that I think is perplexing, right? Amazing and perplexing. But in this situation, it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, if you look at in Acts 2:5, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and it goes on to list all the nations. But there were all these people in Jerusalem who were not natives of Israel or Jerusalem, and they all had different native languages. And so, you know, in this case, it makes sense because these people are preaching the gospel in everyone's native language, and you know, what better way to do it? So you may ask, I've asked in the past, I've never heard of that kind of tongue happening nowadays. And that's what we used to think ourselves, but we want to tell you a story on our travels. We've personally met three different people who've had this happen, this exact same thing happen, from three different continents. They've gotten a foreign language, not from studying, but just instantly downloaded by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you about a couple of them.
I'm still pressing into this. I'm like, come on,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, Chris is still trying for that.
I really want
fervent
a foreign
prayer.
Language.
That's right. Okay, your pastor's pick, one of your pastor's picks, is this book called Voice in the Night. And I know a couple people have read this by a guy named Sapreza Sitholi. He runs a mission base in South Africa. He's actually Mozambican. And we met him when we were in Mozambique. This book describes, I mean, there's a lot of crazy things that happen in this book. Pat's read it. He describes how at different times in his life, when he's needed them, 14 different times in his life when he's needed them, he's been given a foreign language. And what's interesting about him is he still speaks them all. So this guy, literally, this is a guy who grew up in the bush. His parents were witch doctors, not highly educated, very smart. He speaks 17 languages currently, fluently. I mean, you can verify it. If you want, I can tell you where you can find him, and you can go grill him. Get out your Google Translate.
He's a lot of fun. He's so joyful. He's an amazing man of God. So really, if you want to go to South Africa, you should go there.
Yeah, I'll go with. So yeah, you should read the book. It's great. It's great. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world, too, where his mission base is. But we also want to tell you about another friend of ours, a guy named Duncan Eckhurst, who is from England. He received the gift of tongues similar to what's described in Acts 2:4. He didn't know it. Okay, he thought he was speaking a spiritual language. He went on a mission trip to Africa, and while he was there, he was praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, a native African next to him started talking back to him and asked him how he knew their language. And he was speaking this native tribal language. I mean, come on, that's amazing. That is amazing. And this guy is a friend of ours.
Yeah, he's a friend of ours. He's like Dave. I mean, he's just a great guy. And just all of a sudden to have this guy start talking back to you, can you imagine that? I mean, come on. And to me, that is just some real God planning, you know, because years ago, God would have planned for him to get this language to then go on this mission, right? It's amazing. God has plans for us. And we've seen lots and lots of different moves of the Holy Spirit that are just so fun and so amazing and just perplexing. Like Dave said, I mean, come on, even in our testimony, 15 years of a condition known as suicide disease to be gone, that's perplexing. That's amazing. But we're not the only ones with Holy Spirit moves or Holy Spirit experiences. We have two people today who would really love to share with you guys how they have experienced Holy Spirit, and that is Abby and Beth Tindall. So can you guys welcome them? I'm so proud of Abby. I'm so proud that she gets to share her experiences with you guys. Did you? Yeah, you're awesome. Are you going first?
Yeah. Last year, when I was sitting in my stepmom's car, I looked out the window and saw six angels in the sky. Five were women and one was a man. The man was old and had a beard. He had a crown of thorns, berries, and leaves. He didn't have any wings, but he had he was dressed in a white robe. Some of the women angels had faces, but one didn't have a face. They were wearing white dresses and had wings. This was special to me, and I know God has a special meaning for each and every one of you, just like he did for me.
Amen. Thanks, Abby.
So I'm going to tell you about one time I was meeting with my spiritual director, Donetta. Spiritual direction is where you meet with someone who has been trained, and you can talk. You pray before you go, and Holy Spirit puts something on your heart to talk about. Well, this one day when we were meeting, I don't even know at that moment what we were talking about, but when we made space for the Holy Spirit and invited him, I closed my eyes and immediately saw Jesus walking with me in the garden. It was so vivid. He was right there. There was a path. Behind him were just these lush green trees. There was light all around him, and I ended up in my quiet time later drawing a picture of it, and that's the picture. So during the quiet time, as I was drawing with every pencil mark, I just was reflecting on it. Afterwards, I took a picture of it and changed it to black and white. And it was so neat because everywhere you see the darker colors, that's exactly, it was shadow. And still around Jesus, it was light. And it reminded me of Jesus coming out of the tomb. And the Holy Spirit gave me the thought that, yeah, I'm free to walk in the garden because of Jesus. So just thinking back to Adam and Eve and how they were hiding from God, but now because of Jesus, I can just be free and be myself because God loves me. Yeah. So then after that, I thought that every time I pray, I will see you with me, and what a gift to know that Jesus is journeying with me. Yeah. So one more quick thing to say how cool the Holy Spirit is, that when Beth Carter was praying, and even with the 4th of July coming up and this just being a time of freedom and expressing our gratitude for that, it was so neat that this was about freedom. Yeah.
That is awesome. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you for sharing your visions.
Yeah, thanks, Beth and Abby. That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit comes in ways a lot of times that we don't expect. Rarely do we expect it, and usually we're not ready for it. When Chris was healed, we were afraid to tell anyone for a long time, months. We didn't even tell anyone that she was healed because we thought they would think we were crazy. And as we travel around, what we've found is that we meet people all the time when we tell that story who also have a story of some kind of miracle. And so we want to share those as we're pressing into Acts and we're talking about how we are currently living in Acts 29, we want to share those. All the time when people will tell us, we'll tell our story, people will come back and they'll say, well, I experienced a miracle too, and you're the first person I've ever told. And I'm like, well, tell someone. I shouldn't, pot calling the kettle black because it took us a long time. But we want to do that. We're going to do that every week as we go through this series of have people share these kind of things where they've encountered the Holy Spirit.
And to us, testimonies are true seeds. They're sowing the seeds of God's goodness, of God's love, of his faithfulness, and the spirit of prophecy of what he'll do again. So that's what it makes it so dramatic and amazing and awesome to have an Abby come up and to tell her vision, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. So when we read stories like this one in Acts 2, I think we have a tendency to picture ourselves kind of being like with the disciples. Like we're one of them. We're one of the good guys.
Yeah, we're cool.
Right? But in reality, you saw some of our story in the video. That wasn't us. We read these stories. We don't usually picture ourselves as the doubters, who are even making fun of the disciples. But that's kind of where we were. And I think that's a lot of times where we are, even though we don't think that that's where we are, where we're going to be. So along the journey, more often than not, we've been more like the others mentioned in Acts, in 2:5 and then 2:12. All those people who were in Jerusalem, you know, the others it calls them. It says they were amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And then in verse 13, it says, "Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" Right? So when you read that story, go back and read that this week and think, am I that guy? Right? Am I one of them? Or am I really? Or am I, you know, the disciples? These guys were the onlookers. So they were looking at manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and they just couldn't wrap their heads around it or their hearts. And we've been there on many occasions. And I know we'd like to say or we'd like to think that we always invite the Holy Spirit to lead us, like we talked about. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, right? But I'd like to say that we'd always be right there in the mix saying, "Come, Holy Spirit, you know, have your will, you know, having a blast, just enjoying and embracing the weirdness of God and the amazing Holy Spirit." But honestly, we're lucky to just, you know, not be an onlooker. You know, we just need to pray to not be an onlooker sometimes and pray to not let fear control us, fear of what other people think and fear of looking like a fool. That certainly was something that we struggled with after Chris was healed. And after Chris was healed, so we decided, okay, well, I guess, well, that happens. So what about all this other stuff? So we started kind of researching and looking into the Holy Spirit and some of these other manifestations of the Holy Spirit that made us uncomfortable.
Very.
Yeah, and we ended up watching a documentary called Furious Love. Some of you may have seen it. It's also one of the pastor's picks for today. I think we got a picture of the DVD. What Furious Love is it's basically a documentary of the guy who made it, Darren Wilson. He was just trying to capture moves of the Holy Spirit on film. He was trying to capture miracles on film, and just all the awesomeness and weirdness and love. And the movie has a strong focus on people who are being loving to people you don't normally think of being loving to in ways you don't normally think of. And in this documentary, we first saw a missionary named Heidi Baker. It was a missionary in Mozambique, Africa. Soon after we watched the video, we saw that Heidi Baker was going to be speaking at a conference in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So we thought, all right, let's go see what that's all about. See what if that's for real. And it was a conference hosted by a guy named Georgian and Winnie Banoff. This is Georgian Banoff here. And he's known as the Joy Apostle. And we kind of got in over our heads here. We should have done some more research in them. Because they are, we'd never been to any kind of, a charismatic conference, right? These guys are known as the Joy Apostles. And they serve nomadic Romanian gypsies in Eastern Europe. You know, a lot of them are very poor. They're considered criminals and outcasts, and you know, everyone in Europe hates them. A lot of times they live in trash dumps. They live in, you know, little camper trailers that they, you know, travel around, and people run them out of town. They're nomads. But this conference was just full of Holy Spirit encounters. And the one that really just was weird to us was just laughter. Like, there was a speaker named Chris Vallotton. You may have heard of him. He's from Bethel Church in Redding, California. And he was trying to teach on something, and a couple people just started laughing, like, loud. And whatever was wrong with them, it was contagious, because it started spreading through the crowd. And pretty soon, I bet there was 75, 80 people rolling on the floor, in the aisles, all over, just like belly laughing, just laughing like crazy. And we were way, way in the back, like in the nosebleed seats. There were bleachers.
On purpose.
Yeah, we were hiding by the exit. And so I'm like, "What? This is ridiculous." The guy, and I mean, it was even kind of annoying, the speaker, because they were so loud he couldn't even do his job. And they just kept laughing. And so I said, "I asked Chris, let's go up there
and see what's going on. Because it was way up front, we were way in the back. And she looks at me, she's like, no way. She's just such an onlooker, one of those others. And so I snuck up front, and I kind of picked my way through these piles of people laying on the floor, rolling around laughing to see, you know, what was going on up there. And I came back and sat down. I told Chris, they're totally faking.
Onlooker, yeah. Onlooker, onlooker. Yeah,
just like the others, right? They've had too much wine. That
was Oh, my gosh, guys. This was crazy experience because literally we'd just gotten healed. We just had that happen. We had no other experience with Holy Spirit to speak of like that, you know, a tangible physical encounter with Holy Spirit, like these people rolling around on the floor everywhere. I mean, this was weird to me, especially. So that was back in 2013. So fast forward just a couple of years to 2015. We had investigated this Heidi Baker person by now, and we come to find out she's the real deal. If you haven't ever heard of her or investigated, Iris Ministries is their ministry out of Mozambique, Africa. And they actually now have churches all over the world. They have planted over 12,000 churches. They feed over 20,000 people a day. I mean, amen, amen. These people have taken the Mozambican country from primarily Muslim faith to Christianity with Jesus, of course. And so it's just been absolutely phenomenal fruit. And so by this point, we decided that we would head down to Africa and go to their mission school. And so we went to Pemba, Mozambique. We were in the last week of the school, and they asked, would anybody like to get baptized? Well, Dave and I had been baptized, but only as infants. I in the Catholic faith and Dave in the Lutheran faith. And so we decided, hey, no better time than the present to recommit to Father God, right? Beautiful Indian Ocean, this beautiful place. Let's go for it. And by the way, it's coming up for here, right here with our church family too. We have baptism coming up in August. We have our baptism 101 class on August 6th, right here at Wiley, right after service. If you have any inkling whatsoever, child or adult, I highly recommend it as adult, and you'll see why in a minute. Please come to the class and meet Dave, and Dan will be there, and get the ins and outs and at least have the questions. So we decide, all right, we'll go get baptized. If you back up a slide. So this is us in the slide before getting ready to get baptized in the Indian Ocean. And, you know, we're just looking like, okay, we'll go do that sort of thing. We didn't expect a lot. We should have, because that's how Holy Spirit rolls. But we think, okay, we'll go get baptized. And we expected to be baptized by the school directors, because once you're out in the water, there's two different baptisms going on, one for the school, the international students, and then one for the Mozambican clan. Heidi's baptizing the Mozambican clan. We're over with the internationals. So we get out to the water, and in the next slide, one thing leads to the other, and somehow Heidi herself is standing in front of us and getting ready to baptize us. And so right as she is saying, what I remember in the moment is she says, do you wish to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? We, of course, say yes. We're ready to commit to God. And she says, now wait for it. Just wait for Holy Spirit. So there was no pushing. There was no dunking under the water. None of that. Just all of a sudden, I started falling back as Holy Spirit overtook. I fall back into the water, and I come out of that Indian Ocean laughing. Like you cannot believe laughing. Look at me. I am cracking up. I am laughing so hard, so hysterically, with so much peace and love. It was absolutely amazing. I grab onto Heidi. I'm hugging her with everything I got.
laughing. We go into some of our friends. I know, right? I am just laughing. We're our friends are praying for us there, and it is one of the most joyous, awesomest times I'd ever had, I'd ever experienced, just laughing. And I'm laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing to the point where I have to sit down. I am just getting exhausted. And so I go to the edge of the beach, and the waves are crashing in on me. And in the next slide, you'll see all of a sudden, all these little Mozambican little girls started surrounding me. As I'm laughing, I'm still laughing. They're not weirded out by me, though. They're just coming up. They're hugging me. They're hanging on. And there were many of them. This is just a couple of them. And they're bringing me these precious little seashells. They were just little bitty shells. But they kept going out, grabbing shells, bringing them back to me. And I had hundreds of shells by the time they were done. They were putting them in my lap, putting them in my hands. I mean, just all these shells. Meantime, I'm still laughing. I can't stop laughing. And I'm having a blast. And in my spirit, I hear Father God tell me, I want the desires of your heart. I want you to have everything of this world because you are mine. I love you. You are my daughter. I love you. And I want you to have the inheritance that is yours. And in this moment, it was these Mozambican little girls' love with these little seashells. And I'm still laughing, and I'm still laughing. But I never wanted it to end. It was the most beautiful, peaceful, joyful time that I'd ever had in my life. It was so fun. And in about 45 minutes, it was probably laughing for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, she was rolling around in the water for 45 minutes, and everyone else had already gone by the time she was done. And finally, she stops laughing, and she looks up and says, I'm hungry. So we went and got a pizza. So in one of the sessions, the teaching sessions that we were in, someone asked Roland Baker, one of the founders of Iris Ministries, where we're at, what's the point? What purpose does something like that serve? Those kind of things, holy laughter, if you've heard that term, or being drunk in the Spirit, or slain by the Spirit. If you don't have any kind of a charismatic background, I'm giving you charismatic vocabulary words here. So write them down. Roland said, I don't know. And this guy's, he's got a PhD in systematic theology. He lives in this world, right, and sees miracles all the time. And he said, I don't know, but I do know that heaven is a very, very joyful place. And, maybe it's just as simple as the Holy Spirit giving you a little glimpse of what heaven's like. It might be all it is. So the joy, the peace, the love of heaven.
And honestly, that's how I have felt. Only a handful of times where I've had the tangible, physical, emotional presence of Holy Spirit come over me that I've just felt it's like heaven, a little slice of heaven right here on earth. And I haven't wanted it to end. And so whenever they say, well, isn't heaven going to be really boring with all those angels up there and everything?
Playing a harp.
Yeah, playing a
harp. Sitting on a cloud.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, no way, man. We're having fun. We are laughing. It is joyful. It's peaceful. It's just serenity, fun. And so we wanted to just take a couple minutes right here, right now, to invite that Holy Spirit presence, just a little slice of heaven, to invade our space. And so just to, give us that sense of Him, that tangible, physical, emotional sense of who He is for each and every one of us. Because I know, like I know, that He wishes to touch each and every heart in this room in the way that He wishes to speak to you, which will be very individual because He loves you. He loves me. You are His son. You are His daughter. And so I just ask, relax. Get in a place where you can relax. Kids, maybe you want to sit on the floor. Maybe some people want to get on your knees, put your hands in your head. However you can, just relax. We'll go into our communion and offering moment in just a minute. But for now, let's just sit where Holy Spirit is. And let's just invite him to come. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, I invite you to give my brothers and sisters a vision, a word, a tangible expression of your love in this moment. I invite all of your heaven to invade this space. Come, Holy Spirit, come as only you can, giving us the words of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, more, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. Just relax. Close your eyes as Holy Spirit speaks to you. As Holy Spirit invites you into his presence. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord, more, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing that heart that he is your son. Thank you for speaking to him, more, Lord. Spirit, for that vision that you just gave her. Speak into her heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching that heart with joy. Thank you. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for laughter. Thank you, Holy Spirit, more of you. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for being with us, for coming and sending your Spirit to remain in our hearts. More, Lord. More, Lord. More joy. Pour your joy out across our church family. Pour your joy out, Lord. Let nothing hinder. Let nothing stand in the way of you. You, Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Okay.